Well, Father, I just thank you for all those who came out tonight to join in with you and celebrate the new year that we're going into and leaving the old behind. I'm asking, Father God, that your angelic host be walking to and fro throughout these chairs tonight, meet every need, change your people's hearts, change your lives, Father God. Do the miracles that need to be accomplished in their lives. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I was looking at what other people were saying about the new year, and finally I said, you know what, God, I'm just tired of looking at what other people have to say. So I need you to give me a word for the people. So this is a prophetic word that God spoke to me. The whole thing's prophetic. And I just put the scriptures in it, okay? So God says we are entering into a brand new year, and we are living behind a year of chaos and confusion. I want my children to understand that there is nothing I won't do for the righteous ones and nothing I will withhold from them as they march forward in perfect confidence that I can and I shall deliver all I have spoken over their lives. I want to read that again. We are entering into a brand new year and we are leaving behind a year of chaos and confusion. This is all God speaking. I want my children to understand that there is nothing I won't do for the righteous ones and nothing I will withhold from them as they march forward in perfect confidence that I can and I shall deliver all I have spoken over their lives. Excuse me, whatever God has spoken over your life, he wants to bring it forth this year. Not another 10 years down the road. He doesn't have that much time. He wants to bring it forth this year. Time is running out, and I need your full, undivided attention at this given time. I have my arms wide open for every backslider and the prodigals I'm calling back home to fulfill their destinies. Much has been said about the soon return of my son, Jesus, but I want you to take your focus off of this kind of thing and place your focus back on what I am calling you forth to do and accomplish in this brand new year of Jubilee. I don't want to hear anybody talk about the soon return of Jesus Christ. I don't want to hear he's going to come in November, December. I don't want to hear that. The Bible tells me no one knows the day, time, or hour except God himself. And none of you are God. Okay? So you don't know. And Jesus would know before you did anyhow. I want you to forget the former things and place your eyes upon the latter things and just move forward in me. You cannot go back and undo any wrong, and you cannot undo disobedience to my instructions. So all there is to do is move forward in me. Do you hear what he said? So all you can do is move forward. So you made mistakes in life. Who hasn't? Let's get all that under the blood just tonight. Let's just move forward. And I'm going to tell you what God also spoke to me as I was sitting there tonight. He said to tell you not to make any promises unless you know that you know that you know that you can keep them. He doesn't want to hear your New Year's resolutions. He'd rather you say nothing and just do. All right, so I'm telling you right now, don't be making no New Year's resolutions. Determine your heart, you're just going to follow God and then just do that. Take up the sword, which is my word, and go forth as a true and mighty soldier of the cross, bearing in mind that my word tells you that I shall never leave nor forsake you. And Joshua 1:5 says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. You can find great comfort in those words in the days ahead, for I will be moving at a very fast pace, and you will need endurance to keep up with my pace. Excuse me. She's going to take him back there with Isaiah. She doesn't know what she's doing, does she? All right, you can find great comfort in those words in the days ahead, for I will be moving at a very fast pace. Now listen to this, and you will need endurance to keep up with my pace. But as you settle in, and as you turn your face toward the heavens, I will shine down upon you and anoint you to run this race with full confidence that you shall win and not fall. Hebrews 12:1-2 says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. God is going to give us what we need, the strength and endurance to do the things he's calling us for to do. So don't say, I can't do that. Yes, you can, or God wouldn't ask you to do it. God went on to say, every jot and tittle shall come to pass in this brand new year that you are entering into tonight. Matthew 5:18 says, for surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. I want to speak sure confidence into your spirit, man, that what I speak I'm well able to perform on your behalf. Romans 4:20. He did not waver at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. What I thought was so neat is just scripture to cover everything that God spoke. He's just speaking his word. Man has not seen nor heard of all the wonderful things I have in store for my family of believers at this given time and season. For you are truly entering into a brand new season of instructions, a brand new season of instructions from your Father, and you must be forever mindful of the times and the temperature of the hour. I thought that was neat. For the fire will be turned up, and great and powerful things will come forth from this fire. I'm calling you forth tonight as fire carriers of my word, and I'm calling you forth to go forth with great expectation of what the new year holds for you. Eye has not seen nor ear heard of all the wonderful things my true soldiers will accomplish in a short time frame. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. You don't understand the great mighty things that God wants to do through each and every one of us. He wants to use us mightily in this end time hour. And he's been prodding us along all year long. He's been trying to get us clean from the inside out so he could use us in this hour. God said, I say to you once again, forget the former things and enter into the new that I'm going to accomplish through my true and faithful ones. Isaiah 42:9 says, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Take back all your, I thought this was neat. Take back all your sorrows and throw them at my feet. I thought, take back. All right, look what he says. The enemy has held them captive long enough. Do you not understand that he holds all darkness in his hands and he constantly tries to destroy my chosen generation? I am the true light, and all darkness is dispelled when the true light comes upon the scene. Let's read that again. Take back all your sorrows and throw them at my feet. The enemy has held them captive long enough. Do you not understand that he holds all darkness in his hands and he constantly tries to destroy my chosen generation? I am the true light, and all darkness is dispelled when the true light comes upon the scene. And 1 John 2:8 says, again, a new commandment I write to you, which things is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. God says, I dwell richly inside of all the righteous ones, and it is as you allow me to use your vessel. See, as you allow me to use your vessel, you have to allow God to use you. As you allow Satan to use your vessel, God needs you to allow him to use your vessel. All right, I dwell richly inside of all the righteous ones, and it is as you allow me to use your vessel as light that the darkness will be dispelled when you walk into a room, when you walk in a grocery store, when you walk into a business environment. You're going to dispel all darkness as you allow God to use you as a bright light. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. God says, my children, I say unto you, look up continually and follow my voice, and do not lend your ears for one moment to the evil, dark side. I am coming with my great army, and I will slay the giants in the land. And I tell you a truth, you will ride with me, and you shall be dressed in white, and you shall know of my true power, and you shall also slay the giants of the land, and you shall know sorrow, but you shall also know a deep, abiding joy that will bring a wellspring of living water to the surface. Let's read that again. Listen to what God's saying. I am coming with my great army, and I will slay the giants in the land. And I tell you a truth. You will ride with me, and you shall be dressed in white, and you shall know of my true power, and you shall also slay the giants of the land, and you shall know sorrow, but you shall also know a deep abiding joy that will bring a wellspring of living water to the surface, and all those around about you shall prosper because of your obedience to my voice. Hear that? John 7:38 says, he who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. God says, remember always that my sheep know my voice, and no other voice will they follow. And John 10:3 says, to him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. God wants us to only know his voice and his voice only. God went on to say, where else can you find so great a joy but beside your loving Father? Oh, I surely did make you a wonder to the world. I surely did make you as a mighty tower that others can run into. This is your time frame. Let's see that. This is your time frame to accomplish a mighty works for a living Father. Go forth this new year with great confidence that I am with you, and I will always be with you just as my word proclaims. Always remember David. He knew me personally, and he knew of my wondrous ways, and he sang of this great wonder, and he went forth as a young youth, and he slew the giants in the land with perfect confidence. With perfect confidence that his Father was with him, and his Father would never leave him to the enemy. Let's read that part again. Always remember David. So I want you to put David in your memory bank, all right? He knew me personally, and he knew of my wondrous ways, and he sang of this great wonder. He went forth as a young youth, and he slew the giants in the land with perfect confidence that his Father was with him, and his Father would never leave him to the enemy. See, this is our problem. We don't have perfect confidence that God is with us. And we really feel like God's going to leave us to the enemy, and he never does that. He's promised over and over again, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He does it in so many ways. And God went on to say, remember all the great patriarchs of old, and remember how by faith they went forth, and by faith they accomplished great feats for me, and by faith they withstood the course of suffering, and by faith they brought many to the footstool of the Lord. Remember, remember, remember all my promises to you. For they are surely yes and amen, and I will not falter, and I will not fall, for I am the Lord God Almighty, and I lie not. So let's read that again. Remember all the great patriarchs of old, and remember how by faith they went forth, and by faith they accomplished great feats for me, and by faith they withstood the course of suffering, and by faith they brought many to the footstool of the Lord. Remember, remember, remember all my promises to you. See, he said it three times. Remember, remember, remember all my promises to you, for they are surely yes and amen. And I will not falter, and I will not fall, for I am the Lord God Almighty, and I lie not. What has God promised you? Because he says, remember, remember, remember. They say when he says it three times, he really wants to bring it to pass. Then he says, God says, happy new year and happy adventures to all those who follow after righteousness and all those who believe in their Father of all lights and who will not back down, but will just march forward as did the patriarchs of old. So God said, happy new year and happy adventures. Amen. God wants us to live this next year as an adventure, a great big exciting adventure. And keep him in the midst of it. Keep him right there in the very center of this adventure that we're going into in this next year. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered a good offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Now these are your patriarchs we're talking about here. By faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. Do you think maybe God's calling some of us to go places, and he just says, pack and go, and he doesn't tell us where we're going. He's just going to say, pack and go. Verse 9, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man and him as God good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. See that? But having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. See, these people didn't even see the promises, but they still believed they were going to happen. And God has been telling us that we are going to see the promise. And he wants us to receive everything he's told us by faith. You know, we are not supposed to be a people that has to be shown something before we believe. We're supposed to grab hold of the things of God by faith. If God has said it, then he will surely do it. He is not a man that he should lie. He said that to us. He loves you all so very, very much that he just said and gave you a wonderful word. And if you could just take it into your bosom and understand how much God truly does love you. You know, if he didn't love you, some of you wouldn't be sitting here today, you'd be dead. And you know that, and I know that. But God loved you so much, he just kept pouring out more grace and more grace and more grace and more grace. Grace upon grace. And now he's asking you to return back to him what he's given to you by faith. He's asking you to walk by faith and do the things that he's called you forth to do many years ago. He's asking you to walk by faith and understand that he wants to fulfill every promise he gave you. You know, God's been he was talking for years now that the backsliders were going to come back into the house of God. That the prodigals were going to return to the house of God. We have to believe that by faith. And this is the year he said that this is going to happen. This is a year when he said he's going to bring his power and his glory in such a fabulous extent that people's lives are going to be changed in the wink of an eye. He told me one day, he said, daughter, I could just blink my eye and change the whole world. So if he can do that, well, why can't he just with a little twitch in one of his eyelashes change you? God really wants to fulfill all his promises in your life. And tonight you're going to have to determine in your heart, am I going to allow God to fulfill every promise that he's given me? Or am I just going to stand afar off and miss God's timing? We heard about missing God's timing. We don't want to miss God's timing ever again. We want to be ready, instant, in season, out of season. We want to be right there when God calls our name and we say, yes, Lord, and he tells us what to do. We say, yes, Lord, and we go and we do it. What has serving the devil done for you? You know, but you know, if you're righteous and you're following God with all your heart, your life is not, you're not without sorrow. I'm sorry, you're just not. Yet you have a joy deep down inside. And you have a calm assurance that everything is going to be all right because we are in the very palm of God's hand. And he's taking care of us. And he's not going to allow anything to overtake us that's going to kill us. He just won't do that. You know, I'm hearing God say, you've stood in the valley of the shadow of death many times. But I would not allow death to overtake you. because there's still a work that I have for you to do for me in my kingdom. So tonight, I just really want you to understand that God has a great and a powerful and a mighty works for you to do. He does not want you to die in the vine. And it doesn't matter what you've done up to this point. You know, it's done and it's over with. And we heard about last night, we can't change that. But we can change our future tonight. We can say, all right, God, I give in. Give up. I love that movie. I forgot who the actor was now. He was in jail all the time. And he kept getting out. And they kept getting him again. And he finally ended up in that church. And they were all, Cool Hand Luke. Cool Hand Luke, yeah. And with a big smile on his face, he said, Lord, I give up. And then they shot him and killed him. And that just really has stuck with me ever since the first day I watched it. Because, he kept fighting and kept doing all kinds of things, But finally he said, Lord, I give up. And when he gave up, God took his life. But up to that point, he suffered a lot. So, can you say, God, I give up. I give up all this junk I've been holding on to. I give up all this stinking flesh that's caused me nothing but problems. I just give up everything you want me to give up, Father. And I want to come to you empty-handed. I just want to come to you and just have you take me over and just use me mightily in your kingdom. Amen. So many God has called and he has given you gifts and he's told you what he wants you to do and be it, you're not doing it. If you don't watch out, you're going to miss God's timing altogether, and he'll give those assignments to other people. You have to be very careful of what you're doing with the things that God's told you he wants you to do. God can't wait forever for you to make up your mind to serve him with all of your heart. He can't do that because there's a lost and dying world out there. Amen. Tonight as I left my house, I sat in the car very sad, and I sat here very a little bit sad because my family are going out to drug it up tonight. They're gonna come home stoned. And I said, God, I preach your word. And my kids are still hooked on drugs. And tonight they're going to go out and party with drugs. And I don't know what tonight holds for them. But I do know what tonight holds for me. I know that I'm in the Father's arms. And know that I'm going to have complete joy and peace. And I said, God, whatever happens, it's all right. I'm yours. You've given them the same chance you gave me. I can't die with them. Because I have too much to do with my Father. So I know I'm not the only one in that boat tonight in here. But you can't die with them. You've lived a life before them. You've talked to them about the Lord. The Lord has done things to them. And now it's in God's hands, in their hands. So I didn't say give them up. I just said give them over to God. And don't pick them back up again. I keep them covered with the blood. And I prayed, God, don't let him go to jail. Because like David, I said, Father, like David, whenever he had a choice who he wanted to correct him, he said, I'd rather fall into the hands of Almighty God than I would in the hands of man. And I said, I'm holding that up before you right now, Lord. This is what I want you to do. And that's all I'm going to say, Father. It's in your hands. Amen. See, we have to, no matter what we're going through, we still have to serve the Father. It doesn't matter, how much hurt you have inside. You still have to serve the Father. It doesn't matter who's walking away from God and is tearing your heart out. You have to serve the Father. You have a calling upon your life. You have a works to do. And I'm hoping and I'm praying each one of you in here tonight have determined your heart. I'm going to follow you, Father, no matter where you take me. I'm going to follow you, Father, no matter what goes on around about me. What did God say to the one young man? The young man said, let me bury my father and mother. He said, let the dead bury the dead and you follow me. And this is what he's talking about. When you're not serving God, you're dead. So you can't wallow in there, that deathbed with him. You have to go ahead and serve the Father. and let the dead just do whatever they're going to do. There's too many in the body of Christ who are not doing the things God wants them to do because they have family members that are not walking right with God. And when you stand before God, that's not going to be an excuse. Like you told me, I didn't call your family, I called you. So he didn't call your family, he called you. And you're supposed to be out there doing the thing he called you to do. And just let God take care of everything else around about you. God is more than able to take care of those wayward kids. Or that lost husband or that lost wife. He's just looking at you and he's saying, you follow me. You do the great mighty things that I've called you forth to do. We're going to take communion right now. And what I want you to do is I want you to search your hearts right now. Where are you at with God? And what are you doing with the things he's spoken over your life that he wants you to do? And then I want you to determine your heart. Either you're going to do the things that God told you to do, or you just say, Father, I just really can't do this assignment. Would you please give it to somebody else? Be honest with God. And then be content in the decision that you make. All right? But I want you all to know right now, if God called you to do something, it's because you can do it. It's not because you can't. He does not call you to do something you cannot do. He only calls you to do those things that he has equipped you to do. Do you know how many people are lost and dying in the church and going to hell because people will not yield to God and do the works he's called them forth to do? And so therefore, you have ministers in the pulpit that are in sin. You have evangelists that are in sin. You have teachers who are in sin because you did not pick up the cross and do the things God called you to do. And people are going to hell every day because you did not pick up your assignment and go forth. As you decided what you're going to do, just come on up and take communion. We're not going to say you go and you go and you go. You just come on. You know how to form a line. And when you take the communion, I want you to go back on your seat and I want you to pray. I'm not going to read in the word where they took the blood and took the bread. I want you to do your own personal communion with the Lord tonight. To see, I want it to come from your heart, not from my lips, but from your heart. I want you to really to be just covered completely and totally with the blood of Jesus. Sanctified and holy from the inside out. There are so many things that God wants to do with his body, but the body won't cooperate with him. Will you cooperate with God tonight? You know, there's too much work to do. One person can't do all the work that God has to do. That's why he calls it the body, because the body has to join together in one mind and one accord in total unity. And each person has to take up their part. Amen. You know, what God is asking you to do is not a hard thing. It's really an easy thing. Once you decide to submit to what God's calling you, it's so easy. And you're going to wonder, why in the world did I wait this long to say yes? You know, Catherine and Chris, you can look at this young man and be very proud of him. I watch him grow in the Lord every time I see him. He's changing. He's different. He's not the disobedient, happy-go-lucky child he used to be. I loved him that way, but God's growed him up. And he's a wonderful child, and you can really thank God for him. You can be proud of him. He's still a young child. Yes, so if he acts a little bit silly every now and then, that's, you know, you do too, and look how old you are. Right. Oh, thank you, Father. I wish all the children would be growing like that. You know, you have to have a godly father in order to have godly children. You have to have a godly atmosphere to raise kids up godly. And God is calling us to do that. He's calling families to get their act together and have godly homes to raise these children godly, because they're the next generation of preachers. God's going to start using the kids really young to minister. And if they don't have the training at home, where they go? Do you know why that's why kids go in the streets? Because they don't have any training in the home, right? They don't have the correct supervision that they should have. This is Isaiah, my little prayer warrior. If you don't pray and say amen, he gets mad at you and slaps you. He wasn't supposed to be here. What's those things they do to mothers to get the picture? What's that thing called? The ultrasound. When they took one of the ultrasounds, it was a demon. I wish I had that picture to show. He was an actual demon inside of there. But his mother and I prayed. We held hands and agreed. I'll take it later. And we prayed. And God sent us a nice little perfect child. Perfectly ornery child. Amen. Y'all go right ahead and take your communion anytime you want. You speak over it, you pray over it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. You know, God started out his prophetic word by saying, we are entering into a brand new year, and we are leaving behind a year of chaos and confusion. So if I was each one of you, I would say, thank you, Father, that I'm leaving behind me a year of chaos and confusion. And I'm entering into a brand new year, a brand new life. Then he went on to say, I want my children to understand that there is nothing I won't do for the righteous ones and nothing I will withhold from them as they march forward in perfect confidence that I can and I shall deliver all I have spoken over their lives. Can you trust God in that tonight? Can you go forward in perfect confidence that God is able to deliver to you everything he has promised you? For his promises are yes and they are amen. You know, why don't you put away your battle gear that you wear at home and fight each other? put that away and put on the armor of God. Your breastplate of light, righteousness. Put on the armor of God and put down your fears and your anxieties and your differences. And we're supposed to be children of love. But when you go into a house of God, you don't see marriages full of love. There's hate and discord and division, and that's not of God. He doesn't want that. So why don't we determine our hearts tonight we're going to be a family. And yet we're going to have love, and we're going to throw all the other junk. Because God said that you're leaving behind a year of chaos and confusion. So leave all that stuff behind. Don't take it out of this room tonight. When you go out of this room tonight after midnight, you go out, you're a free person. A person full of love and peace and understanding. A person who knows their Father. God's not pleased with the divorces in the family of God. He's not pleased with that. He told me it's a disgrace to him, and it gives him a black eye. It makes the world believe that he has no power, no authority. Because there's more marriages falling apart in the church than there is in the world. Why is this? Because the devil fights your marriage. Because he knows if he lets your marriage go forth and you come into agreement, you'll destroy his kingdom. So how about it? Let's lay down our battle axes and our indifferences. And let's pick up God's sword, which is love and peace. And harmony. And go into the new year with full knowledge that you're still the same people, but yet you're different people. You're a people that has said, "All right, God, I give in to you, I yield to you." You men, God's calling you to be the priest in your home. He didn't tell you to lord it over your wives. He told you that that your helpmate standing by your side. And you men have to be the priest in the home. In other words, you should be reading the Bible. You should be going to church. The Bible tells the men to sit down and teach their children of the ways of the Lord. Doesn't tell the wife to do that. It tells the men to do that. Do you men understand that the reason why kids are messed up is because the fathers are messed up? There's no really true biblical father figure in the house of God. You don't treat yourself right. You don't treat your children right. Your wife right. And therefore, your children stay messed up. So tonight, let's just get it all together. And let's just leave here different people. When people look at us, they say, "That's a child of God." Or that's a man of God. Or that's a woman of God. You're not supposed to be out there telling dirty stories with your co-workers. You're not supposed to be out there drinking a beer. You're not supposed to be at the roulette wheel. We're supposed to be peculiar people. Ones without spot and wrinkle, right? So there you go. It's 11 o'clock. The meal's upstairs. I'll see you back down here about 10 to 12 so we can get ready for midnight. But when you go upstairs and have true fellowship. Everybody went to a lot of hard work to get the food together. So let's eat it and enjoy it, and then you can fast tomorrow. You're dismissed to go upstairs. Don't run over each other as you go. Amen. Plenty of food for everybody tonight.
Can everybody make sure that they have a candle and everybody's coming around with lighters? Just please be careful. We got less than 5 minutes. We have about 4 minutes left. I think that this is 4 minutes and 14 seconds. However, we got 4 minutes left, or 2 minutes left. We'll go with that. Apparently my phone's wrong. So in the next 2 minutes, I mean, I know we all have many, many things to be thankful for. But if we can we think of that one thing that happened this year, that the way God blessed us, that only God could have blessed us. That one spot that we were, that when we cried out to God, that only He could have answered our prayers. Think about that when we go into this new year, and think about the power that God has to do whatever we need Him to do. And to be there for us whenever we need to be Him, as long as we submit to His will. So when we blow out this candle, we're blowing out. We're getting rid of 1 year and coming into a new. But a year that God is going to bless us and do whatever we need Him to do in our lives. And whatever He wants to do in our lives. When the ball drops, not only are we going to say Happy New Year, all together we're going to say Happy New Year, Jesus. And as loud as we can. Seconds. Seconds till we're praising Jesus. Twenty, 19, 18, 17. 16, 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year, Jesus! Hallelujah!